Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
You know, I would say that when I read the book of James, James was the brother, the physical brother of Jesus Christ. He was his younger brother, obviously. Jesus was the firstborn. We know that his father was God, not Joseph. And then Mary did have other children. I know that if you come from a Catholic background, that's just like, what? He did, guys, right? The Bible says it over and over and over again, but not while she was pregnant with Jesus. They abstained. They didn't go anywhere near each other. But then they actually had other children. And why? Because it's actually God's plan to have children, right? It's okay, right? It's not like an evil thing. So Jesus had brothers and sisters, and the Bible tells us that. That's why they were offended at him when he went to his own hometown, the Bible says. That's why they didn't believe in him, because his brothers and sisters were there. Well, James was his physical brother. So this guy got to see Jesus up close and personal. He shared a bathroom with Jesus. Probably shared a bedroom with Jesus. He used to play Destroy the Philistines with Jesus. Right? Like, Jesus and him, they grew up together, yet when James talks about Jesus, he calls him, this is the brother of Jesus, he calls him the spotless Lamb of God. Yeah. Let me break that down for you. The perfect one. Now, I don't know about you, I can't even get my brothers to believe that I believe in God, let alone to think that I am God. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, the reason that my brothers, like, you know, because they've seen my humanity. And sometimes it's funny how we can't see the godness in someone because of their humanity. Yeah. But James was able to do that with Jesus. Why? Because the guy, Jesus, was perfect. James didn't have any bad stories to tell. He was always the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And, you know, when I read the book of James, it actually helps me to be a Christian, because, like, if anyone can be offended by Jesus, it should be James, but he's not. He's actually telling us, guys, listen to what he says. And the book of James is full of great information about how to be an awesome Christian. And he writes this letter in the New Testament, and he actually starts it off with this strange, obscure, straight to the point, pretty blunt opening. And it starts off in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And this is what he says. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know, that's just madness to me. Yeah. Does anyone think that's a little bit of madness? Consider it pure joy if you've got trials coming your way. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Everyone repeat after me, perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Let's look at those three things. For you to be a person who wants to be mature, does anybody want to be mature? Yeah. Does anybody want to be complete? Do you want to not lack anything? The Bible says you need to let perseverance finish its work in your life. So tonight I want to talk to you about perseverance. Because the book of James is making it pretty clear that we're going to face trials in life. Have you worked that out yet? Yeah. It all started for you when your younger brother took your lollipop off you. Like, that was your first trial. And it hasn't stopped ever since. Trials are going to be coming our way. The Bible makes it very clear that God allows the trials so that we can then use this thing called perseverance. And it's perseverance that causes us to become mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Jesus himself, when he was talking about the parable of the sower, some of you guys were here for our men's night, which I thought was absolutely awesome, by the way. It was fantastic. What a great night that was. And Jesus, when talking about the second soil, he talks about the seed that goes in and then it grows up. And then he says, what happens is trials come, and that seed can't endure the trial and it dies. And I know for a fact that there are many of us in the room right now that you are hoping that something grows in your life. It may be your marriage, it could be your career, it could be something that is going on that you're really believing for. And the Bible is telling you that one of the things that will cause you to lose faith in either God Himself or whatever it is you're believing for is trials. Trials have got the ability. Trials in your marriage will make you go, you know, it's all just too hard. I'm going to give it up. It's just all too hard to keep believing for my child to be who I'm believing for them to be. I'm just going to give up. It's all too hard at work. I'm just going to give up. And the Bible will tell us that it's perseverance that gets us through to the next level of soil. Perseverance. In a room this size, there would be people who are about to give up on their relationship. It may not be you, it could be your partner. Some of you are in this room right now, you're about to walk out of a partnership in a business. Some of you are about to give up on a deal that you've been working on for a long time because it's just not working out, and perseverance is waning. And I want to preach to you tonight because I want to pump up your perseverance tonight. I want you to walk out of this place tonight with a spirit of perseverance. I want you to keep persevering. If it was good enough for James to say, listen, guys, trials are coming, but consider it joy. Why? Because it produces perseverance, and it's perseverance that makes you the person that God wants you to be. Friends, someone preached the gospel that you come to Jesus and then everything just works out right. It's not true. Actually, the Bible says the opposite. It says, yes, and all those who want to be godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's actually the opposite because we are now swimming upstream. Even a dead fish can swim downstream. Oh, yeah. Yeah, did you like that? Who told us that it's going to be easy to be a Christian? Who told you that? Jesus from the start was saying, oh man, I've got a cross to carry. There's a baptism of fire. You guys are going to be killed, destroyed, hacksawed. Who told us it was going to be easy? It's wrong. Now listen, I tell you where it's easy, in here. There's the joy of the Lord. There is strength in here. There is peace. There is love. But out there, it's a storm. What gets us through those times? Perseverance. Actually, the New Testament alone uses the word perseverance 32 times. That's actually a lot. Let me give you the definition of what I'm talking about when the Bible uses the word definition. Not even the dictionary version. This is the Bible version of it. Are you ready? It's the characteristic of a person who is not swerved from their deliberate purpose. Do you have a deliberate purpose? Because if you don't, then you will be swerved. And their loyalty to faith and godliness by even the greatest trials and suffering. Now, let me break this down for you for a moment. I am not talking about patience. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Some of you didn't know. It's patience, right? Patience is a virtue from the Holy Spirit. We need patience. And what is patience? Patience is the ability to suppress the annoyance of delay. I'm not talking to you about that tonight. That's another message. I'll preach that to you in 4 or 5 weeks or something, okay? Tonight, I'm not talking about you just suppressing the annoyance of... I'm not talking about that tonight. Although we can achieve that through the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not perseverance. Oh, then what is it? It must be endurance. No, endurance is different as well. That means to bear without resistance or to tolerate. I'm not asking you to tolerate tonight. That's another message. I'll preach a message on endurance in about 8 weeks' time. I'm not talking about endurance, and I'm not talking about patience or endurance. I'm talking about perseverance. What's perseverance? It's a steady persistence in a course of action or purpose, especially in spite of difficulties. What's perseverance? Let me show you what it means. Perseverance is actually a sporting term. If you were coaching a football team, sorry, Collingwood supporters, I don't want to put the salt there and all that, but if you were coaching a sporting team and your team was down by 60 points, okay, if you were the coach and you had all your team sitting in front of you, you wouldn't walk up to them and say, guys, it's half time, we're 60 points down, we need to be patient. The coach wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say you need to be patient. He wouldn't walk in and say, guys, We're 60 points down. We need endurance. You need to tolerate this. No, he wouldn't do that. What he would walk in and say is, guys, these guys are good. They're a good team out there. What we need is perseverance. Why, coach? What does that mean? Perseverance means there's an obstacle coming at us, but we're not just sitting there waiting for it to go. Perseverance does this. It's always, always, it's hard, it's difficult, but you're always moving forward. And sometimes it's only minor. And it's just, listen, I'm not telling you to be patient in your relationships. I'm saying have some perseverance. Being patient is waiting for them to change. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to endure your horrible situation at work. I'm not telling you to endure. No, no. I'm saying, can you have some perseverance where what's going on at the moment is horrible, but you're still moving forward toward your deliberate purpose? I've seen a lot of patient Christians still achieving nothing. I've seen a lot of Christians enduring stuff, still achieving nothing. Perseverance is different, friends. It's different. It's moving you forward ever so slightly. Why? Because you've got a purpose. You know what you're trying to achieve. That's why Growth Track exists. Because if you don't have Growth Track, why Growth Track? Growth Track tells you what your purpose is. If you don't even know what your purpose is, then why would you be trying to move forward? You would just, when trials come, it's like you just brace yourself and you shelter yourself and you arm yourself and you protect yourself. And 16 years later, you're still there. But a deliberate purpose says, no, you know what? I can't afford to do that. Time's running out. You know what? Times are tough. And you know what? People may not respect me, but I'm going to get back on the bandwagon and I'm going to start leaning and start working toward my purpose. I want to become the person. Come on, give the Lord a huge shout if you know what I'm talking about. It's always moving forward. You know, there's a guy called Naaman in the Bible. We've preached on this guy many times. I'm going to preach on him once again because I'm astounded by this man's faith. He has leprosy. He's a mighty warrior. And someone in the land of Syria tells him, listen, did you know that there's a prophet in Israel that can actually heal you? So he goes with all his cohorts and chariots and army, and they go to the prophet, and Elisha is there, and he says, come and heal me. And Elisha doesn't even bother to go to the front door. This guy's come from another nation. And he doesn't even bother to go to the front door. He just sends his servant out. And he says to his servant, tell him to go dip himself. Come on, some of you know the story. How many times? Seven times in the Jordan River. Naaman is offended. What? I can't believe he didn't even come out himself. I was expecting him. Do you remember the story? I was expecting him to come out and wave his hands. That's what the Bible says. To wave his hands all over me. Woo! But he just, all he got was, just go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, bro. That's all he got. Just go wash yourself. What's your name? Naaman. Yeah, the prophet said, just go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan River. Bye. That's all he got. And he was offended. Do you know, some of us, the answer that we want, we're expecting God to come down out of the roof, out of the ceiling. He's going to shake your car. And sometimes all it is just a message from the platform. Sometimes it's just someone in the foyer just saying something to you, and that's God speaking. I've got a great question for every person in this room. What does God need to do for you to think that was God? Like, does it actually need to be blood coming out of the shower? And it's like, oh, there's blood everywhere in the shower. God, are you trying to say something to me? Then on the wall it says you are a loser. I don't know. Well, like, whatever God needs to. Like, no, really, what does God need to do for you to go, wow, that was God? What about a little bit, half Armenian, half Lebanese guy just sort of preaching on a Sunday night? Like, is that good enough? Or is it like, no, I need more than that. I need, because that's what Naaman wanted. And he was totally offended until somebody got around him and said, bro, Naaman, if you had have asked you to do something really difficult, you would have done it, wouldn't you? He said, yeah. He said, well, just go and wash yourself seven times. So he goes down there. And he goes down once. Do you remember this? He goes down once. Now, you can imagine, everybody would have been standing on the sideline with their phones out, ready with their Insta story. I don't know about you, but I can't get their Insta story right. Like, as soon, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm halfway through the thing, but the thing hasn't happened yet. You know what I mean? Like, and it runs out of time. Do you know how it runs out of time? It's like, oh man, couldn't you have got that right? So then you've got to try and do it all over again, right? You've got to cancel it, and, right? But so anyway, they would have been waiting, because here's the miracle, because Elisha the prophet is pretty amazing. He always does miracles, that guy. So here it is, Naaman's going to come out of that water. And so they would have been standing there, here it goes. And like, Naaman comes up out of the water, leprous, remember, he's leprous. He comes up and he's like, and he's still got half a nose hanging off, and or whatever it is. Pastor Joe's told us all about the leprosy the other day. No change whatsoever. No change. Now, let me tell you what wouldn't have been helpful if you yelled out to him that day. Bro, be patient! He would have just stood there. No, he didn't need patience. Bro, just endure it! That wouldn't have helped him either. What you should have yelled out to him is, persevere and go back down into that water again, Naaman, because you didn't get your miracle. You didn't get your miracle the first time, but go back down into that water, Naaman. And so Naaman would have gone back down again, and he would have come back up. What does that mean to you and me? Keep trying. Keep searching. Keep knocking. Don't stop. Keep doing whatever you got to do. Find another boyfriend if you have to. Yeah, you're not married yet. You can find another boyfriend. Yeah, if you're not getting treated well, why are you sticking with that guy? Oh, because, you know, I'm on to my third. Well, when you get to your seventh, we'll start talking. Give it another go. I've already tried three businesses. Well, Naaman went back into the water. He came back up the third time. Guess what? No change. And then he went back into the water, came back up again. No change. Five times came, no change. Listen, the Bible says nothing changed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not like, hey, this is working. My little pinky is normal. No, nothing. He looked at his pinky and it's like, oh, it just dropped off. A piranha got him. It's like, oh man, this isn't working out too good for me. And then he goes down a sixth time, comes back up, and he's like, surely now, we were almost there. It's the seventh, almost. Nothing. Are you hearing me? Zippo, niente. Give me some Sri Lankan ones. Zero. Mafishi. That's for the Arabics in the room, huh? Yes, that one as well. Nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Was he being obedient? Yes. Was he doing what God wanted? Yes. Was he getting the results? No. But I've got a question for you. When he came up out of the water the seventh time, some of you know the story. I don't want to give it away on you, but he gets healed. Yeah. It's like a good Hollywood movie, right? Listen, I want to ask you something. Was it the seventh dip that healed him? See, some of you would go, oh, it was the seventh. No, it wasn't. It was the fourth and the third and the second. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He had to do it seven times. It wasn't the seventh. It was the seven. Not the, every time he had a go, he was actually getting closer to his miracle. Every single time he did it actually mattered. God needs us to just have another go. Have a spirit of perseverance. Have a spirit of perseverance. Work it out. This, it didn't happen because of the seventh. It happened because he was willing to do the whole seven. I wonder who's about to give up. And listen, right now, you're on your fifth dip. And you're like, it hasn't worked out yet. And God says, yeah, but you know what? Can you just keep going? Because maybe you haven't heard from God as to when it's going to happen, but maybe in heaven it actually already has been spoken that it's going to happen for you on the seventh, and you've had six goes at it and you're about to give up and say, this doesn't work anymore. And God says, are you kidding me? You are one step away from getting the miracle that you need, and you're about to. Please don't just have patience. Please don't just have endurance. Have some perseverance. Some of you are, seriously, you're on 6.35. You're almost there. Some of you are on 6.9. Some of you could be on 1.3. You've got a long way to go. I don't know where you're at. Heaven does. All I know is we're never going to get there unless we just stay with a spirit of perseverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a huge round of applause. Woo-hoo! Do you remember the 10 lepers? The 10 lepers, Jesus said, you know what? You guys are going to get healed. He says, but go show yourselves to the priest. They were not healed when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says that as they walked, they were healed. Now, if I know anything about my God, they would not all have been healed at the same time. I guarantee you, one of the 10 would have taken one step and got healed. And the other 9 would have looked at him and they would have said, are you kidding me? And they would have gone to hit him and their hand would have just flung off. It's terrible. I shouldn't make jokes about it. Apparently it still exists. It's pretty bad. Shouldn't joke around. But listen, if I know anything about God, they would not, I reckon there was one guy who was almost at the door of the priest and still didn't get his healing. But the Bible says they all got healed. But it doesn't tell us when they all got healed. Are you hearing that? Just like how some people have been in this church and you've been waiting for a partner for 6 years and it hasn't happened for you yet. And all of a sudden, some guy walks in. And mate, he's got himself a girlfriend by the time the service is finished. That's first time today. They're actually walking out hand in hand. Bye, thanks, life, ours. Love you guys. And you're like, are you kidding me? 6 years I've been coming to this church, worshipping Jesus, buying coffees, helping people out. This guy comes in, bang, gone, married. Come on, let's keep it real tonight. Isn't that how some of us feel? What I do know we have to do is be like these lepers and just keep walking toward our miracle. What about the guys that had to walk around Jericho? Remember those guys? They had to walk around. The Bible says they had to walk around Jericho 6 times without speaking. Now, I'm telling you right now, as they were walking around those huge walls, the Bible makes it very clear that nothing took place with those walls. There was no shaking. There were no cracks. And why did God say, listen, you're not allowed to speak as you walk around it? Because there would have been some bricklayers. Yeah, you know, bricklayers. Always got to comment on the brickwork of everything, right? They can't help themselves. They always see the things and there's too much mortar. So I imagine there would have been some bricklayers that walking around with it. They would have said, you know what, man, I'm a bricklayer. I can look at those foundations. They're going nowhere, mate. These walls are not coming down. I'm telling you right now, they're not coming. So God said, you know what? Don't speak. And here's a word for some of you. You know, if you can't say something faith-filled and positive, then maybe don't speak at all. Because some of us are actually undoing the miracle that God's trying to do in our life. Come on, that's what He wants. If you can't say something faith-filled, then just whoop. At least do that. At least, I'm doubting. You're doubting. Just at least do that. At least say nothing. If you're faith-filled, open your mouth. Do you remember when the angel came to Zechariah? He said, hey, Zechariah, Zechariah, you're going to have a child. You and your wife, you're going to have a child. And he's like, me, I'm an old bloke, what can I do? Do you remember what the angel said? He said, I am Gabriel. I stand before the presence of God. And he said, you know what? From now on, he didn't say it. He made him mute. He made John the Baptist's father mute. Until when? Until his birth. Why did God need to shut Zechariah's mouth so that he didn't undo the miracle? He had to actually pray, God, just send Gabriel to everyone in our church, because maybe sometimes we just need to zip it so that God can actually do the miracle that He's actually trying to do in your life and my life. If we can't say something faithful, friend, just sometimes say nothing at all. It's actually better. It's better for you so that God can at least do a miracle. Are you getting something out of this? Have a look at what 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 6 says. It says, for this reason, I make every effort. He says, make every effort to add to your faith. Can you read this with me? To add to your faith, what? Goodness. And to your goodness, knowledge. And to your knowledge, self-control. And to your self-control, perseverance. And to your perseverance, godliness. I want you to see something. Perseverance is sitting right in between self-control and godliness. Self-control, godliness, perseverance. What's the Bible saying to you? Sometimes you're going to try and control yourself and be a godly person, and you're going to fail. And you're not going to feel like you're being godly. So what do? You keep persevering. And you keep persevering. And you keep persevering. And sometimes you gossip, but you're trying to have some self-control, and you don't quite get there. The Bible says that's okay. Just keep persevering. And just keep persevering. And just keep persevering, because it leads to godliness, guys. Come on, sometimes in our marriages, we're trying to have some self-control, but we're not getting the fruit that we want. What the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do is say, you know what, this is just who I am. No, don't. Don't do that. Persevere. Keep persevering. I'm just not an encouraging person, Pastor Rich. Keep persevering. I'm just not that generous. I just like having my house to myself, but my husband wants it. Keep persevering. Just keep working at it so that you can get to that place of godliness. We're not talking about salvation. We're just talking about you, that when people look at you, they, gee, you're godly. It takes perseverance to be that person, friends. Is that okay? If I strip this back a little bit, sometimes it's really, really hard. Give someone a high five. Come on, tell them it's hard. It's hard sometimes. You know, there are people in our church, I'm going to try not to look their way, all right? So I'm going to look down here. Do you know, there are at least right now in this church, 4 or 5 marriages that, in all honesty, I'm talking within the last year, by all intents and purposes, if they were out in the world, they would be divorced today. 100%. But you know what? They've come, they've sat in my office, they've caught up with Pastor Joseph, they've caught up with different pastors. I'm telling you, they were not hanging by a thread. Even the thread was cut. They were in free fall. This thing was over. But a persevering spirit rose up inside of them. And they just said, God, if you are God and if you can actually do miracles, come on, some of you are in the room right now. And you know what? If you were honest, you would say, if it wasn't for His power, His strength, His church, His people, it would be over right now. But today, those couples are sitting in this room. They're happy. They're still working through it. But God can change people. And I'm so proud of you. You know who you are. I'm so proud of you. You've got a persevering spirit. And I want every single person leaving this place with a persevering spirit. Friends, it's not over until He says it's over. And He wants us to have perseverance. Some of you are feeling the squeeze right now. You know, when I was much younger, my auntie, she used to have a hose that went from her house, hard up against her house, and she used to want to water her roses, which were at the front of her home. And it used to be able to reach. But because of my younger days, I'm not even going to go. If you don't know why some people are laughing right now, you need to ask them later, because it's just way too embarrassing as to why I was using her hose for different things. I don't want to give it away. There's too many young people in the room, could get them thinking about things, right? Needless to say, her hose was getting shorter and shorter every month. She didn't know why. She thought it was the sun. She thought it was like Nilex have changed the ingredients, the compound to her hose. And so what I noticed my auntie would start to do is that my auntie, because it was before the days of sort of having like the really high-tech nozzle things, so the poor lady, she used to squeeze the end of the hose. You know, you squeeze it, and if you squeeze it, the water goes further, right? It does. It goes, right? And so she was becoming like a master. She was almost back at her house, and she'd be like, and she'd be like, she should have joined the fire brigade, I'm telling you. She was unbelievable. But you know what I noticed? That when there's the squeeze, the water goes further. And if you're feeling a bit of a squeeze right now in your life, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit is just trying to get you to go a little bit further. Just a little bit further. Just a little bit. Oh man, I've got so much to say, and I'm going to say it. Do you know what we call this? Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? Do you know, around the world, do you know what they call it? They call it the Bradbury effect. What? It's called the Stephen Bradbury effect. Did you know that? Do you know who Stephen Bradbury is? 2002, Salt Lake City, he was an ice skater. And he was going around He qualified in the final because in the second round, someone got disqualified. It's the only reason he got into the final. But nevertheless, he was there. And so they were going around eight times, and on the final lap, this happened. Every person who was competing with him fell over. Every one of them. He was actually about 8 meters behind everyone else. Right? He wouldn't have got any medal whatsoever. But one by one, they all fell and crashed to the ground, and he just skated on through and won gold for Australia. Australia's first gold medal in the Winter Olympics. Australia's first gold medal in the Winter Olympics. And the only reason he got it was because everyone else fell over. But that's not true. Because this is actually, you know what, that's become so famous that, you know, Lego actually did Australia's most favourite moments. And isn't that terrible? But this is what Stephen Bradbury says. Watch this. Come on. I don't think I'll take the medals as the minute and a half of the race that I actually won. I'll take it as the last decade of the hard slog I put in. Yeah. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying. He didn't accidentally end up in that race, guys. Oh, yes, he did, because someone disqualified. Yeah, but if he wasn't in the race before that, he wouldn't have got to qualify. And the only reason he was in that race was because he qualified for another race. And because he qualified for another race and another race, and 10 years ago, he started a journey that ended up with him getting gold. And if you think he got it by accident, you're kidding yourself. He didn't end up there by accident. That was actually his deliberate purpose. He was trying to actually get a gold, but he wasn't quite good enough. But you know what? He got there in the end, because sometimes it's not about talent. It's about determination and it's about perseverance. And I'm wondering, will you at least be the last person standing? He does a talk called, "I'm Just the Last Person Standing." Maybe all of your friends are going down the wrong road. Can you at least be the last person standing? Maybe amongst all your schoolmates, all of them are divorced. Can you be the last person standing? Maybe you're the only child in all of your family that's walking with God. Great, that's terrible. Let's pray about that. But can you at least be the last person standing? Be the last person. Have some perseverance. You know, we've got a young lady in the room tonight, and her condition was so serious. She went to hospital just for a minor thing, and there was something going on with her neck, and from going into the hospital, it just got worse and worse, and the news was terrible to the point where they honestly thought that she might die. And we as a church began to pray, and we were all praying. And the doctors were giving the worst reports you could ever imagine. But her mum, when the doctors would say she may never speak again, she would say, "I don't believe a word you're saying. I don't believe a word you're saying. No, I don't believe that." To the point she actually stopped going into the doctor's meetings, and she would send other relatives and they can believe whatever they want, but she was not going to believe that for one second. My daughter, they were saying she probably will not leave this hospital. She may not speak again. It was the worst news that a parent could ever receive. And she just said, "I don't believe it. No. And I've got to be honest, even Helen and I are standing there, we're like, "Wow, man, that's super faith. But maybe she should be like, I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe she should be listening a little bit to what the..." She's like, no. Well, guess what? You know what? She's in the room today. She's worshiping Jesus. She's healed. God's delivered her. She's on her feet. She's talking. She's singing. She's using her voice. Because someone had some perseverance. Someone said, "I'm not just going to be patient. I'm not just going to endure this. I'm going to have perseverance." Where are you at? Come on, we want to applaud you like that. I want to applaud your story. Where are you at? What are you about to give up on? Patience is awesome. Endurance is fantastic. I want you to have some perseverance. I want you to keep moving forward. In Jesus' name. I hope I've stirred you up tonight, friends. Come on, this isn't Pastor Richard trying to be super, super positive. I know times get tough. I'm using a very dangerous word, friend, perseverance. I've never had to say to someone, hey, are you persevering through that hot Sunday that you're eating from McDonald's? You know, perseverance is only required because there's a tough time going on. It's not just a fancy word to just help your life a little bit. It's what you need to get through those difficult times. But without them, friend, you'll never build anything great. You will always give up way too quick, and you won't see the miracle that God has for you. God wants to do some miracles. Listen, God wants to even do those miracles tonight. Tonight. Some of you are about to take your seventh dip and see your miracle, even as quick as Monday. You may not see it for another month or a year, but tonight was your seventh dip. Are you willing to do that, friend? Or what are we going to do? We're going to think about the past all the time, how hard it's been. And where does that take you to? Death? No, God wants to breathe life tonight. He wants you to be the best parents you can be, the best young adult that you can be. Amen. Some of you are about to give up on your study because it's a bit hard. And heaven would say, do you realize I'm going to use that qualification? I'm going to use it so that I can send you around the world. And you're about to, please don't give up on it. If you really feel from the Holy Spirit to do that, you go ahead. But some of you are just doing it because it's just getting a bit hard. And the Holy Spirit would say, when did I ever say it was going to be easy? So come on, some of us need to keep going, keep battling through, keep persevering. Keep persevering. Persevere, friends. I'm pretty much done, except that I've got one very important scripture to give you. And here it is, friends. We have to land on this. Otherwise, this message will frustrate the living daylights out of you if we don't land on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to read it out together. 1, 2, 3. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Listen to what that's telling us. Jesus is full of perseverance. Why? Because he is the perseverance king. And tonight, if you'll ask him, he'll pour his perseverance into you. Isn't that great? I'm not asking you to muster up your perseverance. I'm saying be open for Christ to pour his perseverance into you. Because it was his perseverance that took him to the cross that bought our salvation. I'm wondering if there's anyone in this place that wants a little bit of Christ's perseverance in their life. Would you get to your feet, church? Come on. Perseverance. Do you know we've got a group of people in our church from different places? Do you know what I love about them? They've experienced some negativity in their lives, but they're still persevering with God's church. They're still persevering with leaders. So easy to just go, you know what? I'm just going to give up on everything, but they haven't. I'm so proud of you. I'm so honored to have you in this place. You know, there are some people, you've been married before, and someone's telling you that you can't trust men. Don't believe that. Sure, there are some guys you shouldn't trust, but I believe that there are beautiful, godly men that you should persevere in trying to find and bring them into your world and let them take it to a new level together in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of us have got some habits going on right now and you're almost about to give up. Don't do it, friend. Come on, have some perseverance.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.